From New York City, the world-famous Comedy Cellar presents Live from America Podcast. Live from America Podcast. With Noam Dorman and Hatem Gabber. Live from America Podcast. Where the top experts in the world and the best comics in the nation get together weekly to discuss today's issues as they cover news, culture, politics, comedy, and more with an equal part of knowledge and comedy. And now, here are your hosts, Hatem Gabber and Noam Dorman.
All right, hello and welcome to Live from America Podcast. Happy everything, happy Easter, happy Passover, Ramadan. We all get along in April because we have a lot of holidays together. This is Hatem alongside me, Noam Dorman, the owner of the legendary Comedy Cellar. And if you have any requests, any guests that you want to see, just email us at livefromamerica@comedycellar.com. I'm going to call this episode Great Minds because some of the greatest minds are here. And the first one, I don't give him a lot of credit, and I always make fun of him because I can, because he's my best friend. But Noam, actually, Dorman, I'm very, I never give you a compliment. But it's just like a lot of things like that you say stick, like you're wrong most of the time, but I really love the way you argue. And I think this podcast is successful because of you.
And is this podcast successful?
I have the likability and you have the information. So together we kind of like, we do it together. And
is this podcast successful?
Very. But you don't look at the numbers. It's not like your other one that.
Do we make money from it? What is it? Are we monetizing it?
Oh, I make money. Yeah. Speaking of great minds, Coleman Hughes is here. He's a writer, podcaster, artist, and one of the top opinion columnists in the country. And he have his hit podcast, Conversation with Coleman. And one of his new songs dropped today, correct? Can we say that? Yes,
it's called Forward.
It's called Forward, and we're going to have all the information. We're going to discuss it later. And also, comedian Ryan Long. You can see him all over the country, obviously, especially at the Comedy Cellar. And
one
you
of the can great be great minds of comedy. Great minds of comedy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you have more than 1 million views on YouTube. And his podcast, also one of the best podcasts out there, it's called Boycast with Ryan Long. And he's here.
And he's a musician. He was in a band. He had a big band in Canada. I didn't even know this.
Were you?
A couple of musicians hanging out. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I can hear you now. So, yeah.
I was actually just talking to Colin Terrell about that when I was at you're the same thing with the, I really like the new songs, by the way, but the everything I edit always is from back when I used to do music. Like I edit videos like I used to make songs.
Oh, that's interesting. So we have three musicians here.
By the way, do you say happy Ramadan? Are you supposed to say happy Ramadan?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. The exact translation is Ramadan is generous. That's what you say.
Because Ramadan is a difficult time. You don't eat all day for a month.
Yeah, it's not a difficult time. I mean, you come from Westchester, so but a lot of people don't eat. It's like what do you call that diet that they have right now? The 12-hour no diet, you know?
I mean, you would think be like have a peaceful Ramadan or I don't know.
It's generous. The idea of Ramadan is that you feel the hunger and pain of people. Like if somebody tell you I'm hungry, you probably never understand what they really mean, you know, but now you do because you don't eat, you don't drink, so you can give more. So it's all about generosity, all about giving. Want to join Islam, I'm recruiting some people. We have some.
Is there any chance it's backfired? No, never mind. Go ahead. create a little irritability that lingers the other 11 months.
So what about the Passover? What is Passover? Tell us.
That's when we were able to leave Egypt, when the Jewish slaves left Egypt.
Yeah. No, but what do you say? You say happy Passover?
You say happy Passover. And we did it by brutally slaughtering the firstborn innocent children, collectively guilty in Egypt. Yeah,
good riddance.
Nothing to be proud of.
Well, I mean, if we talk about your history, there's a lot not to be proud of. But as you see my name right here in the screen, I don't know if you see it.
Yeah.
But
I just had to say it. I'm surprised that we didn't discuss that. We ought to discuss that. Like, that's, I mean, God did it, right? But it's supposedly, but it's a very cruel, very, very cruel thing that he supposedly did, killing the children who have nothing to do, no blame for this. Why not kill the adults?
And what is it that he said to do to the Amalekites? He told Moses to do to the Amalekites, like kill the men and keep the daughters for yourselves, something like that. And is it in Leviticus or Deuteronomy? He basically says, like, kill the men and like keep the women as sex slaves.
It's like, I mean, I don't know anything about the Bible really, but I don't doubt you. Yeah,
sounds like a fun guy, this God character.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends which book you read. You know, we have a different story slightly. We still, all the books blame the Jews, which we agree on one thing at least, but you know. So, all right. So let's get going. So the first thing is,
you're fasting right now though?
No, I'm not, because I have to take medication, unfortunately. So I'm not.
But it's making me laugh, the idea that, because America has such an obesity problem, but everyone loves protesting, that you need to tell people, no, you're not going on a diet. It's a hunger protest.
No, that's what they call the new way of dieting. You diet for 12 hours and 8 hours and 16 hours. That's a new healthy thing. Yeah. Intermediate fasting. Yeah. And that's Ramadan.
I mean, people say it's healthy, but it is also, it's like, yeah, you're right. If you don't eat a lot, then you're going to lose weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
My grandfather, who turned 89 yesterday, he lost like 80 pounds by eating only meat.
Carnivore.
And only eating every other day.
Every other day is nuts.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Atkins diet every other day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's crazy though. If you have anything to do, it's like, I don't know, you get like dizzy and stuff.
And when I say
retired guy's diet.
Yeah. But when I say he eats only meat, I fear people think I'm saying he eats like 80-90% meat. No, he eats only meat. Only thing that enters his mouth. Yeah.
Is he in good health? Is he like
he's in better, he looks better than he did 5 years ago. I mean, he was overweight 5 years ago. Now he's thin.
89.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Hatem, you know, for the listeners who don't know this by now, but Hatem had a heart transplant 2 years ago. And I'm curious, you have to eat because of the medication, because you can't eat the medication on an empty stomach. Is there any restriction because of the new heart that you have to do things differently? Or are you just
for food, else? You mean?
Yeah. Like, is it?
Yeah, I can't eat anything raw, like sushi or oyster, anything like that, that have, bacteria that, regular people doesn't affect regular people, but can affect me. So no sushi, no oyster, no nothing uncooked.
This would be similar to someone with an immune system problem.
Yeah. And for the medication, I can have any like grapefruit, pomegranate, no drinking, no, but I wasn't drinking anyway. No smoking, obviously nothing.
Is there any level of physical exertion you have to avoid?
Not after a year. Now I can push it. You know, since I'm good, I can push it. Yeah.
Has anybody with a heart transplant ever run the marathon? Let's say.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people do. There's actually an Olympic for the transplant, and there's Olympic.
Can trans women compete as women in that Olympics?
That's what I was gonna say. I was applying for the wrong one, and instead of transplant, I applied for trans.
It's called the trans transplant.
Trans women.
But I'm glad.
Right, get to it.
How's the heart? Heart. We cut your dick off.
Yeah, but you know, I won, so, and we all went happy. So I'm glad your grandfather is nice and healthy and eating meat. Here's a picture of another grandfather is not eating a lot of meat. So this picture of Biden, you know, shaking the air. I mean, this is scary. I don't know. I want to take your take on it. Like, I remember when my dad was old and he was getting in these, you know, moments like this. And it's scary. He cannot control.
Well, tell the listeners, first of all, what the picture says, because not everybody's watching.
Biden shaking hands with the air. I mean, I guess everybody saw it.
And I don't have to know. This has already been fact checked by Reuters.
I don't believe it's true.
Yeah. Wait,
yeah.
How do you know that it's not just a freeze frame of his hand in that?
Yeah.
Position?
I actually watched the video.
Now, have you seen the video, Coleman? It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I thought that, and I watched the video, which I'm gonna try to play for you.
Yeah, play the video. Play the video.
And while I'm searching for it, it's
I'll find it. You talk. I'll find
okay.
it.
But the fact checking places release like a fact check. No, he didn't do this. Mm-hmm. There's a video of it. Like, you know, the fact checkers are pretty aggressively politically motivated.
No, but I thought it was like the media like froze the frame or something. But I saw
what
the video.
What was their reasoning? What was the fact checking reasoning?
They basically said, no, that's not what happened. Like they don't, it's like a fact check logo. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, it's a video. It's like we can judge for ourselves. Right.
It's isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Oh, right. I found it. Should I play it?
Yeah. Yeah. Share and play.
Hold on. Let me just.
So for our listeners, you can watch us on YouTube, Live from America podcast on YouTube, and you can watch the video.
Oh, wait, I did it wrong. I was supposed to say share sound hole. I mean, there's not much sound, but let me just do it right anyway.
Yeah, you don't have to share
sound, but optimize for video clip. I don't know what any of these things do, but I'm going to do it. Okay, can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
God bless you all.
That seems like he's going for a shake.
I
don't buy that.
I'm not totally convinced.
I'm not.
What do you think could happen?
He might have been like, "Am I walking off stage this way? Am I walking out?" You know, like, I don't know. I'm not totally convinced that it was.
I think he was going for a shake, but I also don't think it's necessarily that crazy. It's just kind of funny. Like, I don't know. I'm loopy. I do stuff like that.
He did it like this, like with aggressively, like he's almost like he's joking around. Like if I did that, people would just assume I was being silly or something. Like, you know, I come on. He didn't shake hands with thin air. I don't believe it.
I think he thought he didn't shake, someone
right?
was close.
Yeah, he didn't shake. He looked like he was.
Maybe he was opening up for the shake he thought was coming, but he didn't. It's like, I don't know that that's a senile moment necessarily.
Here's a more important question in my mind. Do you believe or do you not believe that if Biden were really in the kind of mental condition that he would need to be to do these various things that people suspect he's doing, do you or do you not think it would leak from somebody within the administration, would have leaked by now from somebody within the administration?
Like a whistleblower?
It's unfit.
Yeah, I think somebody would have leaked it. That's what I think.
Mm.
I feel like if they leaked that, it would go through the same partisan machine that anything else does, where, you know, Fox News would say, oh, definitely, you know, this is a big scandal. And CNN would say, oh, that person just doesn't like Biden.
Well, if the president of the United States is really so out of it that he's shaking hands with thin air and everybody's just keeping it a secret, that's an unprecedented ability to keep secrets when much more important secrets leak out. Well, I shouldn't say much more important secrets, but equally important secrets tend to leak out. Everything leaks out.
Couldn't he have just thought someone was there though? Like not, you know, he might've just, there was someone kind of standing beside him and he thought that person was still there because he was talking to the audience. And then, you know, the other person sort of moseyed off stage and he thought they were still there and he went for the handshake.
Mm-hmm. What's the consensus on whether Reagan was suffering from Alzheimer's at the point he was still president? Is that, because I've heard people talk about that.
The consensus is that he showed some signs of early Alzheimer's towards like the last 2 years of his administration, where he was forgetting things and things like that. But of course, that's only confirmed in retrospect when it actually does develop into full-blown Alzheimer's, because quite often people that age have memory lapses and stuff, and that's just normal age.
Yeah.
But
and I guess it comes and goes too, you know, it doesn't stay with you. Like my dad had it for a little bit and he will have moments, you know, where he was, you know, not remembering stuff.
I don't think Biden has Alzheimer's. That was what everybody was saying. And then he debated Trump 3 times and he seemed perfectly.
But I think when you're in this age, every day that you older affects you. Like he debated Trump like almost 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think the other big story about this, I don't know if you guys heard, Saudi Arabia had an SNL sketch that kind of like made fun of Biden. And it was very popular. And the news here picked it up as like, we get to the level where these countries are making fun of us. I don't know if you saw the clip.
Yeah, but there, like, was also that same program making fun of other presidents.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was like that narrative was wrong.
Yeah.
The narrative that, like, this is how much of a laughing stock we are. It's no, they've been making fun of American politicians before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the program is more popular now, but, you know. But the way they did it is like his Kamala Harris is next to him and he's thanking his wife. It's just like, I'm not my your wife, stuff like that. It's, you know,
I think there's a coarseness to us as a society. Maybe it's always been there, but I find a lot of the mocking of Joe Biden's elderly behavior to be very disrespectful and very disturbing. I mean, if he actually is senile, it's a serious national problem that needs to be handled seriously. But the enjoyment that the right seems to get from it, the kind of stuff like I hear Ben Shapiro saying, just mocking him, is just, I think it's awful. And I'm knee-jerk want to defend the man because I don't like that tone.
You don't like the politics being like that level of a blood sport.
Other cultures respect their elders in a much better way than we do. And I think that's a good thing.
Do you think that once someone's the president, it's, you know, the gloves are off a little bit? Like if that was a normal citizen, and everyone was making fun of, like, yeah, look how old this 80-year-old is. It was, you'd be like, this is crazy. But maybe people see it where it's, if it's the president, you're fair game.
Well, I mean, if he's actually mentally deteriorated, if he has cognitive decline, then it really is up to the people around him to do their patriotic duty and bring it forward. And because we can't have a guy in cognitive decline, you know, deciding how to handle Putin.
Right.
And I kind of think they would, you know, I'm sure he's old. We all know old people. They're not with it like young people, but they're wiser in certain ways, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. But it's not about disrespecting only the elder, but don't you want the symbol of the nation to be someone who, you know, kind of like when Obama was, you know what I'm saying? Like, or Reagan.
Yeah, of course, but nothing we can do about that. We have to, you know, we have the president that we have. So why are we going to add to it by mocking him in front of the world? Like, you know, I just don't like it.
I think it's, it feels like going forward with the internet, I think that it's going to be probably a long time before you don't have politicians having half the people love them, half the people hate them and getting mocked mercilessly. It's almost one of those things where you go, why would anyone want to be a politician right now?
Well, that's true, like, for sure. Well, let me ask you this question. When Trump mocked, he denied it, but I think he did mock that writer when he went like this. And remember, How is that any different from mocking Joe Biden's senility?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people might say there's like a punching up situation where you go, he's the president, so it's fair game. But yeah, the
actual
principle is similar.
Yeah. Pretty much all that is that people want an excuse to be cruel and be a bully. And so they pick a safe target and then come up with this thing of, oh, well, he's a president, so I'm speaking truth to power. It's like, no, I think it's actually fun to be a bit cruel, but we have to pick our targets in ways that preserve our image of ourselves as a good person. We don't want to make fun of,
I think that describes a lot.
Right, yeah, now. That's totally. It, that's exactly, you know.
And it's, you know, the making fun of Mitch McConnell, for instance, you know, he looks like a turtle. All those kind of, those are like schoolyard bully jokes, which are actually funny. I think the problem is to actually acknowledge and accept that cruelty is sometimes funny. Yeah, and we have this thing in ourselves where, like, we laugh, but we don't want to think of ourselves as bad people. So we strategically choose targets that we see as bad people or powerful people so we can reconcile that.
Yeah, it's working backwards to figure out the logic from the position you already have.
Yeah.
And then we have doctors that they can say if he is not capable, that's their job and we should trust them.
I mean, Trump took that cognitive exam. I don't think Biden will take one.
And he had the most terrific IQ. Yeah.
They had to add a new digit.
I mean, you know, we have this cluster of really old presidents now. And so in this context, you'd think there would be support for some kind of law which required the president to take a yearly cognitive test.
I mean, if he would have to, I mean, there isn't there a law that, you know, at a certain point you need to do your driver's exam again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you can, you
get,
but you don't
get your eyes checked, get your eyes checked again.
So, I mean, I'm sure like, yeah, the, if you were a cop or like most jobs have that. And it is, I get, that is a good point that like most jobs have this and normal life has it, except for being the president.
I mean, it's a greater concern than his corporate tax return, right? Which we're demanding. That's also private. We demand that private information, but we don't demand to know that he's with it. Anyway, what's next? Yeah.
Did you guys know, sorry, factoid, did you know that senate and senile have the same Latin root?
No.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fact.
Really?
Because it used to be like a group of old wise men.
Ah.
Somehow that connotation was in the term senate originally. So it's
but I think back in the day, the average of old white, you know, men were, I was gonna say old white men, old men, which is true too, for the Senate, will be in their 40s, kind of 50s back in the day, right?
Back in what day?
Latin, you said?
In ancient Rome.
Yeah, in Greece or Rome, I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But then maybe, you know, maybe old was a relative term. It's like maybe 50 was considered old back then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hatem, are you white, Hatem? Do you consider yourself white?
Nope.
I'm from Africa. Okay, so you're black?
I put others. It depends where I am. People can define me for myself. You know, I just walk in and I see, you know, sometimes I get what I want. It's like, oh, I'm white. Sometimes
okay,
I
don't. Okay, so let me ask you this.
You're off white.
In a typical family of your whatever, of your otherness, do they distinguish, and you brought home a black a woman or a white woman, would they regard them, who would they regard as closer to your race?
Probably black.
Okay.
Because in Egypt, the Middle East and stuff, we more dark, you know, we darker than, you know, than usual. So yeah. All right, next one is the subway shooting that happened, and this guy got caught. And
let the record show, I don't actually believe Hatem's answer.
What do you think I am? I told you.
We should run the experiment. We should run the social experiment, bring, you know, get black actors to go into Middle Eastern Arab homes and say, this is my boyfriend. And we'll actually see what the numbers, how the numbers crop out versus white.
Let me just bring up one historic example that I remember. We just, there was a movie in the 70s, a TV movie about Anwar Sadat. It was called Sadat. And yeah. Sadat was played by Lou Gossett Jr., the famous black actor who by the way, was my father's roommate at one time. Lou Gossett Jr. played Sadat. And this was a huge scandal in Egypt. They were very upset about the fact that a black American was playing Sadat.
That is so and not true.
Okay, you talked amongst yourselves.
Because the Egyptian version of Sadat was also a black guy. And that was, I was just going to tell you, example, when Sadat won, nobody said a black, because we don't look at it like that. I guess it depends where you are and who you are, you know, what part of Egypt, what part of in the Middle East in general. But the guy who played Sadat in the Egyptian movie was also black. There is no... I mean, I don't know about the movie you mentioned. That was, you know, I had never seen it, but so I don't know the reaction to it. I never heard of anything like that. But what do you think I am?
I think that
Olive.
because that's what I think is like people, like you can define yourself any way you want, but it's what people defines you, you know, that's what matters, you know. So
this is
in the airport, I'm Muslim, so it's
In Wikipedia, the film was negatively received in Egypt and was accused there of distorting history and slandering the Egyptian people, and was also criticized for casting of a black actor, Lou Gossett Jr., as Sadat. The Egyptian Ministry of Culture announced a ban on all films and television programs distributed by Columbia Pictures. So, and I just remember this.
That's some cancel culture.
Well, this is Wikipedia, you know. You're a nice guy.
I remember it happening. I lived through it. So what do I think you are? I you look like a white person to me. I'm sure you have some percentage of African DNA in you, just like my kids have some percentage of African DNA in them. Not an insignificant percentage, but if I had to say, I'd say you look like a white guy.
You're bumming him out now. He doesn't want to be a normal white guy.
I mean, culturally, you have your distinct thing, but I would say
you're Arab, though.
Arab's pretty light,
right? Yeah, I mean, because sometimes Arab has historically sometimes been categorized in the Caucasian category, but it's a different look to me intuitively.
It is the guy that played the Sadat right here.
Yeah,
Zaki. Which is, you know, also a black actor. All right, the subway shooting.
Okay, but here's the thing. Then if you are black, if you're not white, at least 50% of the Jews in Israel are as non-white as you are. They also have.
But they look Middle Eastern, yeah.
And they look like you. I mean, you can't. There's a million Jews running around Israel that are indistinguishable in appearance from you, and sure. Yet they're called white. The whole world considers them white.
I guess white has a lot to do with being European. So people think of it this way.
They're not European.
Egypt have a lot to do, like all the pharaohs came from the south, which is Africa. And then when Cleopatra, and Romans and Greek were influences. So there's different parts, but most of the pharaoh's kingdom was African, you know. And that's one of the things. The only thing that actually... When they want to play, when Angelina Jolie was supposed to play one of the Egyptian gods, they said, no, she is white. You know, we want something like Beyonce or something like that, you know. But anyway, okay, subway shooting. So that happened last, I don't know if you guys heard about it, in New York City.
It's in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I found him right around here too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy been posting
basically
videos.
Basically the Riddler.
Yeah. And they caught him
bombs in the subway.
One black finally got a black mass shooter.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another one? Not there was one. Yeah. Wasn't there another one where they weren't
there's been many.
The guy that was shooting out of the car recently, out of the mm-hmm. truck.
What's interesting is when you first hear this news, each one of us have a different word. My first word is like, please don't be a Muslim. You know, that's my first word.
My first words is, I bet he's Muslim.
Oh, yeah. I know. That's what everybody's like. We're going to deal with him as a Muslim until proven not Muslim, you know. But well, you would think this guy got caught. You would think in this day and age, you will wear a mask when you walk. Like, you have an excuse already.
Well, the whole thing is, you know.
Sorry.
I watched a bunch of his videos, right? And it's very.
Is it still on YouTube? Is it still live?
No, they took him down.
Yeah, because I tried and they start tracking me. I was like, oh shit.
It's interesting. Do they refer to him as a black supremacist in the mainstream media?
I have not seen that.
No.
But he also is very. He has some not so kind opinions about black people as well.
So Ryan, that's go true. Ahead. You watch his video.
I don't know if you guys watch them, but it is. I did. Wild. Yeah. It's very, he's very, has a lot of problems with white guys, a lot of problems with women, a lot of like, you know, Asians he hates Puerto Ricans. And, but he hates
Eric Adams too.
But he hates black people too. He's very like, you know, you like the black people, you don't even open your eyes. You're so stupid. You belong on a plantation. Like that's kind of, he has a lot of this kind of stuff. So and it's very discombobulated and he's like laughing to himself. From a broadcasting standpoint, was a fairly good, entertaining podcast. Like he's quick, he's on it, but he's yelling and screaming. So it was very much like if you knew a really crazy friend that has these like really wild like opinions that thinks everyone else just doesn't get it, and he's smarter than everyone. So that's how he came across.
Ryan, do you remember how many people watched it?
Like not how very many. So I was looking post. So his thing,
yeah, me too.
His thing's Prophet of Truth 86, which is great, right? And his, I watched it after, you know, all this stuff. Obviously, I'm not like an original subscriber. Yeah, I watched all this stuff months ago. Yeah, I've been following this guy for a while. He has like 2,000 subscribers, you know, and he only has 3 people on his Patreon, me being one of them.
Where can we see it now? Somebody must have downloaded it.
Oh, I don't know exactly, but yes.
I didn't see the whole thing, Ryan, but I saw clips of it. I saw
there's hours.
So I saw a clip where he was saying, you know, like these white people, look what the Russians and the Ukrainians are doing to each other. These white people, they're like depraved. They're animals. They're like, imagine what they're going to do to us, black people. You know, basically that was his take. And, you know, I'm... I'm always interested to see how the media reports this kind of stuff, because, you know, the obviously the Kyle Rittenhouse shooting, you could read 10 mainstream media articles about this and get no sense that the people he killed was white. You would know he was white, right? It would be Kyle Rittenhouse, straight white male, killed three human beings. And if they had been black, obviously, killed three human beings at a Black Lives Matter inspired rally riot. And you could go 10 articles deep and assume that he killed three black people.
Yeah. There were three.
And I did. Many people did.
Yeah.
And like publications.
Can I just say something about the white mass shooter? So first of all, I think that turns out not to be true. I did some reading about it. And I think white people are actually a little bit underrepresented in terms of being mass shooters.
Got to get our numbers up.
But more importantly than that, it's really a bad line of reasoning for anybody to go down, because if that becomes a normalized attack on white people, then what you're really doing is opening the floodgates to the same attack against black people for all the violent crime, right? Is that like, why would you want to do that? It seems like a terrible mistake logically. I know my mistake is to think that these things matter logically. They don't.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
To me, it seems, you know.
But there were a few that came out where they said a racially charged person did an attack, and he had all this opinions on race, and he was like a racist person, like things like that, but not mentioning that he's black.
And if he was white, if he was white, that would be in the headline of every article.
Well, that's purposefully misleading, being like, hey, this racist guy did an attack on the subway. And you're just like, obviously, you know what that means for most people reading it.
Well, this
so it is funny watching those gymnastics.
And also, if you were white, it would be taken as an indication of a wider problem with the country.
Oh my God, dude.
If he's black, we're comfortable saying, well, this obviously we have a safety problem with the subways, but this is not necessarily the character of the country or
that would have been a mess right now if that was the guy that went and shot 15 people and his videos was like a white guy being like, oh, we need to bring back.
It's kind of like the same if it's a Muslim guy, it's a terrorist attack right away. Why? Muslim guys cannot be just crazy. Like, we have to, like, everything have to be terrorist. Like, some of us are, you know, insane. It's not like,
but there is, I mean, listen, I will say that, you know, as a, even in comedy, like I think a lot of what you do is notice patterns or whatever. So I don't think it's crazy to be like, whenever it's a white guy, he's usually motivated by this. Like there is patterns here, you know what I mean? So like white school shooters, it's always, you know, a lot of times it's like against women, and there is like a pattern where you can, to some degree of accuracy, probably predict what the motivation was based on their race.
Usually disaffected, weird looking. The way they look alike is really striking, right? Like
the white dude's got a look for sure.
He's white school shooter. My God.
Oh yeah.
But they say that this guy was as usual on the FBI radar. So I think now if you're on the FBI radar, you're safe. You know, there's nothing, you know, you're not in danger. Because they said that he's in the radar and they knew about him and his videos.
Well, then that's often these people are on the radar, but because we have such a, you know, so many rights, it's difficult for them to do anything even when someone is on the radar. They just can't arrest you because you're on the radar.
It also didn't make any sense. Like a lot of this, what he did didn't make sense. It's sort of like planned this thing, went, left his keys and stuff there, then didn't leave New York, then basically called himself in. Like it was all none of it made a lot of sense. Like it was obviously either a conspiracy
went to McDonald's for his last meal.
Yeah. Or someone operating, you know, with like that isn't mentally sound.
Okay. Deeper question. Does anybody understand? Coleman probably has thoughts about this. Why is crime seemingly going up, spiking?
I'm doing a video about this Monday, actually.
In the city. What is actually the reason?
Ryan, go ahead.
Ryan?
Well, I mean, there is some degree of in COVID when everyone hated cops or whatever. They're just like, all right, well, how about this? We'll stop doing our jobs. Like that, I'm just saying, even anecdotally outside of my house, like that's kind of what happened. They just stopped enforcing, you know, people set up tents outside and start living in the path in East Village. Like that just wasn't allowed before. And I think that the during COVID, I think a lot changed, but there I mean, obviously to some degree it's less policing, right?
I think a lot of people are getting away with it, and that's making others, you know, we see a lot of, we just saw this video of the people stole from the Diamond Place. They still didn't get caught. You know, a lot of crimes have been committed recently, and we hear about the crime and they never get caught. So I think that's kind of encouraging a little bit.
What's an alternative explanation for, like, if it's Coleman,
let's go with Coleman.
What do you think, Coleman?
I mean, I've seen no compelling explanations other than nationwide, you know, police backing down.
What else could it be? Other than maybe,
well, it could be someone would argue that, you know, the economy has been bad during COVID, okay, and now with inflation and poverty is going up.
Okay.
You know, someone who has a structural explanation of crime would want to point to every factor other than the police.
And you know what's funny? They had these protests about not having cops in the subway. Remember?
Yeah. Well, the other thing in New York, anyway, right. I've never been a fan of stop and frisk, especially when Mayor Bloomberg seemed to just up it, despite the law of diminishing returns. But having said that, it may, I never thought it didn't work. I never said it didn't work. And it may actually work profoundly, even if it's something we don't want to have. And it's been a while now that it's been gone. And, you know, it takes a while for these things don't deteriorate overnight. And we may be seeing the renewed realization that people have that you can walk around with a gun now. You haven't got much to worry about. You know, that might be part of it.
Well, Blue Bloods is like a cop propaganda show. And they're very always reminiscent of the good old days when they used to get to do stop and frisk.
Yeah, and I'm not advocating bringing it back, but I would like to know if it worked. It's way easier not to advocate bringing it back if you know it didn't work.
Yeah,
it becomes more difficult question when you know it works, and you know that there's a body count, you know, on the other side.
There's also a lot of cities, and I don't know if New York's is bad, but where essentially they can arrest people, but they're not getting prosecuted anyway. So
I think I kind of have this illusion. I think to be safe, make sure nobody, we get some Israeli forces here in New York and they'll just smack the shit out of everybody. Doesn't matter, child, woman.
Some hardened Israeli women.
Yeah, and they just, you know, boom.
I would invite everybody just for fun. First of all, it's a good movie. Go and watch the Charles Bronson Death Wish movie. That is a really good movie. It holds up in its own way. But I just want to tell you, as having lived at that time, that movie depicts a reality of what New York City actually was. That movie is not crazy at all. And, you know, the memory is short, but people need to understand what is possible, like how bad it actually can get. People of my generation, like, you know, are like, oh, shit, you know, is this coming back?
Well, apparently it's as bad right now. It's as bad since the 90s in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I even remember
Times Square. And
can't be that bad yet.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so
in terms of homicides.
Not homicides, no.
No, I think it's assaults. There's like three categories or whatever. But the reason I'm doing a video about this, so I've been kind of looking into all these stats. And I think right now, most stuff's up about 15 to 20% as of, you know, from 2021 to 2020. And then apparently, a lot of categories are as bad as it's been since the 90s.
Also, the 90s are, because the 90s started with, you know, right after the 80s in a terrible time. And by the end of the 90s, that was Giuliani's, was on his way out, his last term. Giuliani was mayor in 1999. So, you know, it depends where in the 90s you want to compare it to.
Well, I'll tell you some of these headlines.
Yeah.
And I think there's something, you know, I don't know if it's me, but what do you guys think? When they started saying we're going to have a lot of cameras in the street, I think it was a great idea and it worked because a lot of people, you know they can't get away with it. But now I feel like people don't care anymore about being taped or getting caught even. Like, yeah. right?
Apparently, they're going to start using drones to police the city.
I'll tell them, we got to get to the next topic because I have to leave at 5 o'clock. Come on.
I like that Norm have the next button. We have very smart people.
You can continue
here.
Without me. You can continue without
no,
me.
No, I want to know just one thing. And this before the solution, you know,
yeah.
I said great minds in this episode. Come on, guys, great minds. You have the answers, and by you I mean Coleman and Ryan and.
Well, it's all in equilibrium, right? And there's the culture that if you're gonna have less policing, you're gonna have more crime, and it seems like for some people that's a trade-off that they want.
So more policing.
Well, obviously that there's a direct correlation between more policing and less crime. It's yeah. just a matter of whether the people want those trade-offs.
Norm, what do you think? In your opinion?
No, I think that's right. The only obvious short-term solution. I mean, people want long-term solutions, you know, ending poverty and cultural. But the only short-term solution is more and better policing.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we even have the money for that at this point. But yeah, that's there is nothing else. You put a policeman on every corner, like, you know, obviously yeah. you'd see crime come down.
I'll ask Coleman, but I live in Williamsburg. I like the Hasidic Jews neighborhood policing. You know, it's kind of a good idea. I think neighborhood policing could work.
Yeah, George Zimmerman favors that.
What if we get a lawman on every corner?
Coleman, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely more higher number of police, better trained police that feel empowered to do their jobs. But that doesn't necessarily mean more prison or longer sentences or anything like that. That stuff is a little bit of a mirage in terms of reducing crime. It's really much more about how many police you have and how effectively they're doing their jobs.
There's okay. also on top of that, where it's like, it comes, a lot of people fight it like an either or, where you're like, hey, there's all these people that kind of set up shop and, you know, neighborhoods, and it's like make them unsafe. Like if you walk around where I am, there's a crazy guy yelling at girls and stuff like that, which makes it feel unsafe. Mm-hmm. And then the cops is very much like, well, you didn't want us to, you know, be cops, so then we won't do it. And you're like, all right, is there a middle ground between, everyone's allowed to do everything and then you killing him? Like, can we have
so the cops are kind of like my wife, you're saying, right?
yeah. Well, I guess we'll just not do that ever.
I guess I think the next step, instead of the cops wearing body cameras, the people wear body cameras and ever, because we're into filming each other people. With filters and stuff like that. We all have filters, you have had cameras. All right, last topic, 10 minutes. I want to leave the last 2 minutes to talk about Coleman's music, but you guys pick Elon Musk and Twitter or the Amazon versus the union?
Elon. I like
Elon. Okay.
Stuff. All right. Elon Musk. What do you guys think of him trying? I don't think he's going to get it, but what do you think of him offering? And he said he won Twitter. It's not about the money, but it's the future of civilization and democracy and all that. But yet he want to control everything.
Well, I know some people that know him pretty well, and they.
You know, aliens?
Yeah, some aliens, and me and Grimes go way back, but a lot of people that know him say that he is dead serious about, like, he means what he says, and that is what he believes, that he's trying, he wants to, this isn't the publicity stunt, he does want to take over Twitter, and he does believe that it's very important, whether or not he'll be able to, and whether or not it actually will have the effect that he thinks it will, is another question.
But when Amazon have the Washington Post, everybody was like, you can't have that much money and the media.
Twitter is a single institution that has no real competition. The Washington Post.
Yeah, there's also, it's not a monopoly.
Newspapers.
Yeah, he also doesn't own anything else in that industry. So it's not there's no like monopoly problem.
What do you think, Coleman?
So I think that if he did buy Twitter, it would probably be a good thing for Twitter, at least in the short run, because he's very committed to free speech. He was not going to censor articles in a partisan way like they've done with so many New York Post articles. And so from that perspective, I support it. The problem is the perception of Elon is polarized. So it will hurt the perception of Twitter, which is the same as hurting Twitter. Unfortunately, because not everyone has my perception of Elon Musk. I like Elon Musk. Not everyone does. On the other hand, the Bezos examples, like Bezos bought the Post, but no one now, people kind of don't care about that anymore. You know, some people cried out at the time, but it's like every now and then, but like at the end of the day, you share a Washington Post article that someone doesn't disagree with it saying, oh, Bezos propaganda, right? It's like when the sky doesn't fall and people realize Twitter is more or less the same after he buys it, it might just fade away.
Okay. Yeah, the Washington Post already was always a liberal paper, and it just continued to be a liberal paper. As a matter of fact, I think it got better under Bezos, to tell you the truth. I think the Washington Post is not bad. And I think that Elon Musk would bring an association, but I think, I don't know if that would be a net change. It would just be a different association than Twitter now has with the other side, right? Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to note, like, in a similar kind of way, people should be careful with their arguments. So when there was censorship on Twitter, the standard argument from the people who were unhappy about Elon Musk taking over Twitter was
private company.
Well, go get your create your own messaging app. Like this is a free country.
Make your own internet.
Get your own Twitter, and now. Why can't we say that to them? Well, okay, Elon Musk can buy Twitter, create your own new messaging app. You were so about, they were so happy to wield the free enterprise system as this argument to shut up people who were complaining about censorship. Well, and now all of a sudden they're not so pleased with the free enterprise system.
It also shows how much people need and want censorship. Like, you know, it's almost like he's like, hey, I'm going to have less censorship. And why does that have people going so crazy that they're like, oh no, we're not going to have dad, you know, telling us what articles we can't, like, why?
Journalists saying, please censor us more. Profession. It's crazy.
It's crazy that it's like forced them to, you know, say these positions out loud.
but we people, I think we speak for us here and maybe Hot Time. We people here who are more on the free speech side.
And maybe
we really are guilty a little bit of not being very precise, because when push comes to shove, it is a problem when ridiculously untrue things spread on the internet. And it is a problem when hateful things spread on the internet. And it is a cesspool, and I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I
I'm not expecting everything to be hung. If Elon Musk said, okay, you know, you can't say the N-word, have fun, everybody. I think there would still be problems.
Against that is that the lies that have been endorsed by the censorship regime or whatever have done more damage than the alleged damage that these lies might do.
So my personal inclination on all this, if I were Elon Musk, and I haven't thought it through, would be to create some sort of procedural system where certain things could be judged according to First Amendment standards, where there could be some sort of procedure where people could weigh in on authorities, or you could create layers within a tweet where you could go and see various scholarly opinions on this, where the tweeter himself might have a field where he could fill in authorities if he had any to back up what he's saying, such that if he didn't have any authorities, it would become very obvious to anyone reading the tweet, and maybe something would develop where a tweet which had no backup within this kind of like field on the tweet itself would
not
taken seriously, you know, like create some sort of skeleton there that intelligent people could use to try to, or my children could use to try to learn what's reliable. Expose the untruth rather than censor the untruth.
In this very podcast, I was the first one to ask Twitter to move from 140 characters to double, because Trump was tweeting and we felt that he might get into a disaster. I think what Twitter should do now, instead of the verifying blue thing, have different color for people like fake information or You don't want to follow this guy.
No, that's the same.
Who gets to decide? That's the real the question always.
But right? You guys not worried about, because I'm from the Middle East. I'm always like, I know the people like with money, they try to control the media. And even if he's not doing it now, he's going to do it
Who's
later.
This they you talk about, Adam?
Well, do I even need to say it? But you guys not worried at all that somebody with that much money will have something like Twitter at all?
Somebody with that much money has Twitter now.
Yeah, I was about to say who.
It's not one person. It's a lot of people. First of all, he's not going to get it because there is a lot of, you know, other people that are going to buy it. They're not going to sell their shares. And
okay, so, but just for a second, just get back. I think it's interesting. Let's say there's the lab leak tweet. Somebody's tweeted the lab leak, right? And we all agree it shouldn't be censored. So what should there be? The person who tweets it ought to have a place where he can put up. So if you don't believe me, read these things. And the person who's the people who are opposed it ought to have an easy way to post things that they feel ought to be read by someone who might believe this. That would be a very healthy system, I think. And Twitter should create the structure to allow that to happen easily. And I said to Cole one time, like, also Rotten Tomatoes seems to be good. Rotten Tomatoes has like the elite class and a score among the elite class, which could be journalists and blah, blah, blah. And then it also has the public. And I mean, there's various.
So an audience score on truth.
Yeah. I think somebody could put their mind to this and really make it work much better than it does now without censoring. Never.
And definitely you should not be having lifetime bans on anything. I mean, that's the idea that someone could be kicked off the internet permanently when you can murder someone and you're not in jail permanently is pretty crazy.
Or even blocked for a little bit. I mean, what Robin Hood did when all the GameStop stocks and all that, and they just froze it for a couple of days, you know, even that's wrong. And people will forget about it and went back.
You think that they should freeze Twitter for a couple of days when things get too heated? They go, all right, 30 minutes time out.
Take it to the streets.
Do you think that if the Hunter Biden story were known to the extent that it's known today in terms of what's true and what's not, do you think it would have affected the election?
Yeah, for sure. Yes. But it just depends on to what level and probably not that much.
I mean, it affected the outcome of the election.
Potentially. The outcome? I don't think so. No.
I think it would.
I don't think so.
If it's in the right time, like right before, people will say, oh, shit, everybody's the same.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's no outright accusation of anything illegal that Joe Biden did.
I mean, it hasn't affected him that much now. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if Hunter's last name was Trump, he would have been already in jail. But you know,
crime alleged, is there?
Hunter Biden. They're saying, yeah, the Hunter Biden laptop. I mean,
they can't find his laptop.
Child porn and stuff.
I guess smoking crack is a crime.
Well, yeah, we know he was smoking crack.
Prostitute. But some people are saying child porn. Like that's the accusation people.
The crime alleged, the crime is not a crime, is really the same thing leveled at Ginny Thomas, Clarence Thomas's wife. That it's just a swamp of selling influence and, you know, having insiders Ginny Thomas is not getting rich, but just that it undermines these institutions to have this kind of influence peddling, and that's really
which is true but not a crime,
which is not a crime at all.
I guess we'll see.
It's a bad look.
Clarence Thomas would tell his wife, but what are you crazy? Don't you know I'm on the Supreme Court? Like, don't you like you really expect me to go on TV and say no, there's a wall of separation between me and my wife, trust me.
They're kind of like famously extremely close friends.
Yeah, I mean,
as a couple.
I've lost all respect for Clarence Thomas, Dennis. I truly have. It is just wrong that he did not put a stop to that. That both of them didn't know without being told that this was an unpatriotic thing to do. It's indulgent. The Supreme Court. It should never. No one should ever have to question whether a Supreme Court justice is being influenced by his wife's political activism. That's over the top like that. Calling up, having the Republican administration in her text messages, you know, being involved in the thick of things in real time of how Republicans are making decisions. That's just disgusting. It shouldn't be happening. And it's the same thing with Hunter Biden getting all this money from Ukrainians when his father's in charge of Ukraine policy. All the money just costs... just being funneled to him. The second his father takes over Ukraine policy, everybody in Ukraine wants to hire the guy, right? And it's, and you'd think the father would say, no,
Hunter, no.
Just don't do that, you know?
It's like a comedian hire Mila and pay her money. He's like, hey.
Mila. Oh, listen, I have these issues and I don't want to, you know, blow my spot, but I've had things where I've told Esty, like, I don't want you to take those baseball tickets.
Yeah.
Because people will try to ingratiate themselves to her. And I always tell her, no, don't do it. I want to go to the game. No, I don't allow that because I know the appearance of it. And I also know actually it wouldn't get them any more spots. I don't think it would because I know how we do the lineups, but you don't need it because then anytime that person did get spots, all the comedians would say, yeah, he gave SC Yankee tickets. What do you expect? And, right. and you can't blame them for thinking that. Mm-hmm. And then you got to cope. No, there's a wall of separation between me and Noam. And come on now. Who are you kidding? You know, nobody wants to.
That's true. Anyway. All right, Colin, let's talk about your
coming. Let me just ask you guys, though, on the Elon thing. When people are saying he's going to be having that much influence, but in which way? Because he it's not a news source. So it's just he has the influence to what? Like not censor? Like how is this exerting influence other than like he has his own Twitter account, which already has, you know, tons of followers. He's not going to change the algorithm to make his tweets appear on everyone's page. So like what influence is he, you know, as far as actual opinion, is he changing?
Well, people are, you know, get their information from social media now, especially the younger generation, to Noam's point. Like people, you know, that's why you can have fake. I can post a fake news right now. I can post an old picture of somebody attacking. So you can influence people more than the news. You know, people, the news are boring. You go to Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. So he will have a lot of influence, you know.
In theory, I feel like in theory, he could have a lot of influence. He could have been like, no, don't lock Trump out of Twitter. I mean, you know, say there's an article criticizing Tesla going around. It's like, okay, maybe.
It's almost like the influence is, it's the removal of influence. Really, it's like the absence of influence. It's like they're mad that the influence that's currently there doesn't get to stay there.
Just as an analogy. No, I think you're right. 100% right. If you were a parent and your daughter, your 10-year-old daughter came home with something that you felt was completely untrue, what do you think would be a more effective way to handle it? Tell your daughter, I don't ever want to hear you say that again or read anything that says that again. Or would you pull out an article or something and say, no, sweetheart, I want you to read this. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. This is like a simplistic analogy, but it's actually exactly on point. The idea that the way to combat this stuff is by trying quixotically to make sure that no one can read it or see it. It's insanity that what these people on the left, like forget about the principle of it. The fact that they don't realize how futile it is to get where, if they want,
it makes it more salacious too.
But if they want a society that's better informed and less influenced by lies, don't they realize that by trying to make sure that nobody can utter the lies is actually counterproductive? It doesn't work.
In the personal level, you're right. It's your wife or something being like,
it's also what I think about the CRT laws, by the way.
Yeah. How is it
the CRT laws?
That's also what I think about the CRT laws. They're not going to, even if they could be written non-vaguely, which is impossible, they wouldn't be so effective.
But you know, there's a lot of people that look at Twitter and just say, and look something fake and they believe it. There's a lot of, you know.
So you ready to go? Okay, I have to go. But yeah, this is the final thought. Most people think that everybody's stupid. That in the end, it comes down to a fundamental lack of faith in people's intelligence. Because if you kind of give people the benefit of the doubt, being not stupid, that not being represented by the dumbest people, then you would say, okay, well, let's just make Twitter more informative. Mm-hmm. Let's just make sure it's all out there. You only want to censor this stuff because you think people are just that dumb. that, and I actually think people are smarter than that. I really do. All right, I have to go. My wife is all dressed up, and I'm going to miss the conversation about Coleman's song, but Coleman and I will be playing Monday night, and I'm going to listen to the song. Yeah. Nice to see you guys. Bye.
Good to see you.
Bye.
Happy Easter. Happy Ramadan.
Happy everything.
That's over. You know, it'll be really funny. I'd like to interview Noam if Elon Musk banned him from Twitter and see how happy he is with him. It's crazy. What's your video about tomorrow, Ryan? So you make a video about crime tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I wanted to do a crime one, and I thought it'd be funny to do like a criminal that's getting out of prison and on parole, and they're trying to make him do his parole in New York, so he just wants to stay in prison because it's safer there.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Ryan's videos, you have to. It's so much fun. I always wonder, do you ever get in like the interviews and stuff? Like, do you ever get in trouble? Like, do you ever get in a fight or something? Because sometimes you push it too much.
I used to be wild. Like, you know, I come from that like Tom Green, Ali G kind of thing. That was like my whole, you know, jackass. So when I was young, like I had some TV shows in Canada where I was doing wild stuff. Like me, like asking people like, you know, annoying questions on the street and bugging them. Like I do get people annoyed, but not like the way we used to go and break into, you know, office buildings and, you know, just do insane stuff. So it used to be way worse, but I did do a funny one this week that I got a lady pretty fired up where I was doing a hidden camera thing where I had like a clipboard and I was asking New Yorkers to donate money to Tucker Carlson. And I was saying that he's making all these documentaries and he's doing stuff about education. And this lady's like, well, I think he's a traitor, right? Like, I go, oh, but he's doing a documentary on traitors, actually. So that should be up your alley. Like he's doing a documentary called Killery. And if you want to donate money, and then I got, this guy was like, I'm a teacher, so I don't think I like Tucker Carlson. I was like, oh, he's actually doing one about how teachers are pedophiles. If you're interested, like it could expose some of the people in your work. And I was just, and a couple ladies go, she goes, I'm going to call the cops if you don't get away from me right now. Just start flipping out.
That's so funny.
But that's what I wanted. That's what I was hoping for. Like a Upper West Side lady that fucking gets fired up.
Do not try this at home, ladies and gentlemen. Coleman, your hit comes out tomorrow.
No, song came out today. It's called Forward.
Okay. Forward. Okay. And it's in YouTube right now?
Well, not on YouTube. It's on Spotify, Apple Music.
Okay. Oh, the video didn't come out yet? Because the last one, the video is just like, it's a great song. You can listen to it, but you watch it too. Like, I think, you know, I think you're from school that, you know, the video means have to do something, right? Means a lot of things. It's just not like it tells a different kind of story.
Right.
So what's up? Can you say anything about this one?
I can say Neil deGrasse Tyson is going to be in the video, but I don't want to say anything more than that.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, hopefully.
I saw that on the trailer, I think, right?
Maybe. Yeah. Possibly.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to write one?
A song?
Yeah.
There's no way. I don't know. Sometimes it's like really quick. Sometimes it's not.
And do you have like a certain, like you go a certain topic, like, yeah, I want to talk about this, or?
I have no interesting questions to like process, no interesting answers to process related questions. It's like,
okay,
I don't do anything weird or abnormal. I'm intuitive with it. And, you know, it's like, there's nothing interesting to be learned from how I write a song.
It's very standard. Because as a, you know, you're like a columnist as well as an artist. And I wonder which part of the brain goes to like the serious stuff and the artist stuff. Like usually you don't find the same person doing both. That's why I was very.
I guess not. But, you know, in my experience, there's a lot more overlap than you would think.
Okay.
Between people that are creative and like intuitive art forms like rap or music and people that are creative and analytical art forms like journalism or op-ed writing. There's a lot more overlap than you'd think,
okay,
in my experience.
I think there's a lot of people right now, more so than 10 years ago, that are popular for like the content of their lyrics. I feel like that probably used to be a thing. And I feel like most bands that were popular 15 years ago, it wasn't really some message that was being that much more received. It was more about the songs and stuff like that, where I feel like there is like a bit of a comeback of the songs with a big message in it.
In like pop songs or rock songs? Or
yeah, pop. Like even just there's a lot of rappers that are like very famous that in both rock and rap and stuff like that. But I feel like I there was an era where none of it meant anything. It was just songs and just lyrics. I mean, I feel like I was part of that.
Was the tune, right? The tune comes
through. Yeah, whatever. And you know, a lot of times it was something introspective about, you know, whatever relationships or personal. But I think that like broad cultural points are like making a comeback in lyrics right now.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know.
I hope so, because you can find them in my songs.
Yeah.
My third song I've released this year, I released Forward. I released Blasphemy, which is the big video I shot in Ukraine. And you can see that on YouTube. And then I released Straight A's. Sorry?
Done in Ukraine?
Yeah, I shot it in Ukraine.
Oh.
And he said that over a year ago, though, like before there was any reason to think anything was going to happen.
No, and all the extras and actors from Ukraine, right?
All the extras in the video are all Ukrainian.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very interesting. All right, so it was great to have you. If you want to listen to Coleman with Norman and the band on Monday at the Olive Tree above the Comedy Cellar, you can see Ryan downstairs.
What time do you guys play at?
9 p.m.
Monday.
9 p.m. Mondays? Yeah, I got to come by.
Yeah,
you should.
So it's super fun.
I normally don't do stand-up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's why I probably never come. But yeah, maybe I'll just come by just for that.
It's a perfect reason to come.
Yeah, it's actually so much fun. I'm not just saying that. It's actually a lot of fun. A lot of talent there too. Like so many people are talented. They just get together. It's amazing. All right, you guys want to share information or people can find you or follow you and all that?
Ryan Long Comedy, The Boys Cast with Ryan Long.
All right, Coleman?
Conversations with Coleman podcast at Cold X Man on Twitter and Cold X Man on Spotify, Apple Music.
There you go. And live from America at ComedySalary.com. See you guys. Peace. Thank you very much.
See you guys. All right.